Why do we listen to stories of old? Not just the Jesus stories, but the stories before his time. What do we do with them? Well, Jesus didn't come out of nowhere. The older stories lie behind the Jesus stories, and they greatly enrich our understanding of his life and ministry. And so when we hear these older stories, we do well to use our imaginations, to listen to the story, yes, but also to wonder how it relates to or echoes or emphasizes or reinterprets other stories that we know. And because we are Christians, gathered as a worshiping community, our lens will always be Christ. We will always be seeking pointers to Christ, with whom and in whom we are gathered. With this in mind, let's turn to tonight's story, which tells of a time that Abraham and Sarah received visitors. The story has a number of themes. We'll focus on hospitality. In this day and age, when hospitality is an industry, or something we share with friends, or something we might do to show off or return favours, we can be blind to its significance in the biblical world. For the importance of hospitality is stressed again and again in the Hebrew Bible. And that hospitality is to be extended both to people like us and to outsiders. Here we see it offered to strangers when God shows up at Abraham's tent. At first, Abraham didn't realize it was God. What he saw was three strangers. They were passing through, but he longed to offer them hospitality. And so Abraham ran towards them in the most undignified fashion. And he said, "Please, please let me serve you." Well, they accepted. And so he offered them baths and organized a feast. He told his feisty wife, Sarah, to whip up some bread and quickly. And then he chose a fat calf and had it slaughtered and prepared as he made a yogurt sauce. Now, Abraham's behavior is extreme. He's not giving them a bit of bread and dip. He is running towards the strangers, drawing them in, bathing them and throwing a feast. And this recalls other stories. For example, it reminds me of a story Jesus told, which we know as a prodigal son. The father in that story didn't wait for his wayward son to sneak in the kitchen door and grab a bowl of cornflakes. Like Abraham, he too was extravagant in his welcome. When his son was a long way off, he saw him. He ran to his son and he threw his arms around him. And then he took him home and bathed him and dressed him in the finest robes and prepared a feast. Can you hear the echoes with Abraham's welcome to the strangers? In the same way, Jesus accepted and offered hospitality in the most extravagant fashion. He sought out Levi, son of Alphaeus, a tax collector, a hated person, and he ate with him. He sought out Zacchaeus, another tax collector, and he ate with him. He sought out and ate with foreign nationals and traders and sinners. In fact, he was accused by some people of being a drunkard and a glutton. His eating and drinking and welcoming everyone to the table upset the entire social order in ways we can barely understand. So upset the social order and it enraged the authorities. But Jesus never stopped. He continued to show extravagant hospitality right to his death. For hanging on a cross, he welcomed the thieves beside him into paradise. After the resurrection, some of his disciples encountered a stranger on the road to Emmaus. Embodying the hospitality of their beloved teacher, Cleopas and his friend urged the stranger to eat with them. And as they shared food and drink, they suddenly recognized the teacher himself, the risen Christ. Their grief and confusion turned to blazing joy, life in place of death, presence in place of absence, hope when all hope had seemed futile. Even now, Jesus seeks us out and draws us in. that we may eat his flesh and drink his blood and become his body, the body of Christ. And as we participate in this body, his Spirit fills us with abundant gifts, gifts of hope and life and laughter. And now we are back to where we began, at the first story. Because after Abraham's guests have eaten and drunk, they ask Abraham where his wife Sarah is. Once he assures them that she's in the tent and can hear every word through the thin walls, they speak. They bring surprising and impossible news that she, a woman who could never have children and is in any case now well past the age of childbearing, she'll have a son. Life, presence, and future hope where once there was none. Of course, Sarah can't help herself. She bursts out laughing. It is too ridiculous for words. But it's true. The God of life, for whom all things are possible, had been welcomed as a stranger and had brought a blessing. And in due course, Sarah had this son. She named him Isaac, which means he laughs. And the whole world laughed with her at the gift of a child in her late old age, a gift of hope and life and laughter. It's a great story, and it points to many other great stories. But what does this have to do with us? If we listen as individuals, maybe not so much. We live down private access roads. We work from home, we work long hours, we work in upper cities. We shuttle children to activities most nights of the week. Encountering strangers and welcoming them into our homes is difficult for most of us. So perhaps the answer is that we need to listen not as individuals, but primarily as a congregation. Perhaps it's to this table, the communion table, that we need to be inviting people. Let's look at the themes which appear in the story of Abraham and Sarah, and which pop up here and there in the other stories. First, God may be encountered in the stranger, but we might have to go out of our way to meet the stranger. We might have to urge them to eat with us. In doing so, we might look ridiculous, and that's fine. Second, the stranger may be bearing gifts, but it may take a long and extravagant meal and a long and lingering conversation for these gifts to emerge. Third, any gifts will not be what we expect. They may overturn our assumptions about the way the world works. They will always be about God's passion for life and God's faithfulness, and will not be brought about by our own efforts or constrained by our limitations. Finally, these gifts will bring hope and life and laughter to places we had thought were barren. So here we are, a group of people gathered together each week, invited by the ultimate host, Jesus Christ, the one whose hospitality knows no bounds. In his life and death and life beyond death, he welcomes everyone to the feast, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. But there's a catch. Everyone who feasts with him is told to go out into the world and bear witness to this abundant and life-giving and healing hospitality. And that includes us. So who do you see on the road? In your workplace, your schoolyard, your neighbourhood, your mother's group, your casual chat at the shops, who do you see who needs to be invited to the feast of love? Go to them. Go to them and like Abraham, like the father, like Cleopas and his friends, invite them. Invite them on behalf of our extravagant host who longs to share his own self with stranger and friend and who simultaneously outside, hungry and needing to be fed, thirsty and needing a drink and waiting only for an invitation to come in and eat. Every Sunday, you are welcome and all are welcome to the feast, to be nourished by the body of Christ through singing and stories, bread, wine and water, prayer and fellowship, potatoes and soup. And in that lingering conversation after the meal with a stranger, a newcomer, a visitor, who knows what gifts will emerge? Who knows what life will break forth in our midst, heralded by their words? Who knows what laughter will be ours when we hear of God's plan for us? Who knows? But let us be open to the possibilities. Let us be open. Amen.